Noah there, Darren Frank's prayer, I just plugged that in. Forgot about it making noise. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, where we are talking about God, through the Holy Spirit, giving Christians a diversity of knowledge, a diversity of understanding, a diversity of spiritual gifts altogether. We looked at those gifts. These are not just speaking in tongues and healing, things like that. These are all the gifts that God gives us. He gives to us in a diverse way. Verse 12 down, we will learn that the Lord gives us diversity in the churches. We'll get to that one of these days. He says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now these are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. We're going to stop right there because we're not going to get no further than that. In fact, we probably won't get past the next point. This morning, we looked at our third point at verse 2, where the Lord said, you know that ye were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. He's not talking about Gentiles as a nation. He's talking about Gentiles as a nastiness. Gentiles as a lost state. Gentiles as if there's nothing good in them. One thing God has always done, every time we've studied the scriptures, every time that we have done anything in the Word of God concerning us, and concerning our spiritual state, God always leads us back. He did in Ephesians 2 when we studied it. God always leads us back to what we were. And what God does by doing that is he reminds us of who we were, and then he reminds us of who we are because of him. It's because of him that we have salvation. So many people think that salvation is in the works of man somehow, but it's not. We have nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation, as God described it in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, is a gift from God. He always calls salvation a gift because that's what it is. God's gift to you. God is under no obligation to save anyone. God is under no obligation to do anything for anyone. You've not earned anything with God, and the only reason you are what you are is because of the grace of God. Now we come to our next point. In verse 3, the Lord says, wherefore, I give you to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Two things there that we certainly need to study and certainly need to look at. The first being that no one that's saved, okay, let's just clear the air, no one that's saved will ever call Jesus accursed. And accursed means basically that he is worthless, that he is not usable to us. And if you look at the salvation plan of most people, the salvation of them is one of humanism. It's all in you to be saved. You make the decision. You make the choice. You pray the prayer. You do the work. You get baptized. You do this. You do that. But God says that salvation is a gift. Why don't they get that? Why can't they understand that? I've had people to literally tell me in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that God loves everybody. Now, I did 22 studies in that chapter, and I never saw one time where it said that God loves everybody. In fact, I've never seen in the Word of God where God says He loves everybody. I get tired of people defining the Word of God out of context. I remember when I was a young preacher, studying, learning, and there's always been a debate about the word world in John 3:16. Well, anybody who has a spiritual mind about them should understand that God does not love everybody in this world. God is dividing the Jews and the Gentiles and saying that He loves people of both from different nationalities of the world. But He says in verse 3 here that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, because that's the way we speak, isn't it? What's He mean by the Spirit of God? That is, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. How could we ever call Jesus accursed? Jesus is our Lord. He is our Master. He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of gods. He is the Creator of all things. And by Him, according to Paul in Colossians, all things consist of Him. He holds them together. That's why now don't worry about things like global warming. I know the liberals in this world and a lot of the other people in this world, they worry themselves every day over global warming. We've been dead 50 times over because of global warming already. Every 10 years, we're going to die. You know what? Am I going to trust people who buy more gas mileage cars, or am I going to trust God? I'm going to trust God. Amen. I'm going to trust Jesus because He's the one that holds everything together. He holds the oxygen level right, the carbon dioxide level's right, the hydrogen level's right. He holds the sun away from the earth, not too close, not too far. He makes sure the sun comes up. And the moon and the sun goes down, the moon comes up. He makes sure the stars in the sky. He makes sure we got rain. He makes sure we've got the proper ingredients and everything to make sure we can grow food. We don't realize in a day's time everything Jesus does for us. But the greatest thing Jesus Christ has ever done for us is come to this world born of a woman, grew up in this world and gave His life on that cross for our sins. Amen. And when you are saved, you are called of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. They are. Therefore, God hath made them children because He hath saved their souls. So it means that no one under the influence of the Holy Spirit could ever curse the name of Jesus. If one is saved, then they love the Lord Jesus Christ with every part of their being. Lost people do not love Him. Even if they say they do, they do not. They do not see Him as a Savior. Even if they call Him their Savior, they do not see Him as a Savior. That's the reason they believe in works. That's the reason they believe in that they saved themselves somehow. They have changed, as I said in our newsletter today, they have changed the sovereignty of God into humanism. And that's exactly what God said they would do in Romans 1, 25, when he said four times in Romans 1, he gave them up. A lot of these people who call themselves Christians today do not love Jesus Christ. They do not love God. They have this mental fantasy of what God is and who God is, or what Jesus is and who he is. And in their mental fantasy of humanistic belief, they don't even really believe in God and Jesus. It's all about themselves, isn't it? Think about it. Look at what they believe. Look at what they teach. And nothing involves the Holy Spirit. Nothing involves the work of God. It's all about them, all about themselves. Go to 1 Corinthians 16, if you will. So we go to 1 Corinthians 16, a few chapters over. And we see these words. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, martia. John Gill said, here it signifies that such persons that love not the Lord Jesus Christ should be rejected by the saints. And that's what them two words means. It means not loving the Lord. And they ought to be accursed. They're not Christians. They have no part of Christians about them. Nothing about their life is Christian. So they go to church. So they give their money. So they go out and do good deeds for people. That don't make you a Christian. A Christian loves the Lord Jesus Christ because he's your Savior. And a good Christian loves God and doesn't curse him by saying he's useless. Because that's exactly what they say with their humanistic beliefs. These people ought to be rejected by us. If we go to 1 John, we're not going there because I can't get them all in, folks. I'm going to mention it, but I can't get there. But in 1 John, the Lord tells us that our test for people is what? Their belief in Jesus Christ, isn't it? And he says if they don't believe this when they leave, don't bid them Godspeed. You don't tell a bunch of Mormons or a bunch of Catholics or a bunch of any other religion that we're going to pray for you. We're not praying for them. We're not supposed to. If you're going to pray for them, pray that God saves them. Don't pray for their work. It's a useless prayer. God's not going to bless them. I hate to say that, but it's true. Jesus Christ means nothing to these people. God means nothing to them. I get tired of people telling me that God is not sovereign. He is. Most of the denominations out there used to believe that God was sovereign. They also used to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. But over time, thanks to people like Charles G. Finney, things have changed. thanks to organizations like Catholicism, organizations like Pentecostalism, things have changed. Where do you think all this standing and waving and stuff? You know all that is? It's outward emotions of things that you don't know what to do inside. There's nothing wrong with outward emotions as long as it's coming from the heart. These people do that stuff for show. It's showing God how much they love him. Well, God knows how much we love him, don't he? Amen. Second Corinthians 11, if you will. Back up a few chapters. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. He says in verse 3, but I fear that not by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might as well bear with him. I had a guy telling me the other day that I sugarcoat the gospel. He don't know what sugarcoating is. Because there's one thing I don't sugarcoat, it's the gospel. Amen. And the other things I don't sugarcoat is anything else. I've been told that I'm arrogant. Now, you can't sugarcoat something and be arrogant at the same time, can you? Preach the gospel, folks. Death, burial, resurrection of Christ. There's not another gospel. Paul said in Galatians that there's only one gospel. And it is what you find in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. There's not another gospel. If there's another gospel, don't wrap your mind around it. Because it's trash. Paul's giving us a great warning here. That our minds can be corrupted. A lot of Christians have allowed their minds to be corrupted. You know what I think it is? I think it's the same thing we have. Like everything we have is by the grace of God. Mentally, spiritually, understanding, wisdom, knowledge, everything is a gift from God. We can gauge our blessings from God on those things. Are we a church member? Are we faithful to the church? What do we believe about the doctrines of the Bible? You know, we don't believe Baptist doctrine. I have never in my life been taught a Baptist doctrine. They are confessions of faith, but I don't go by them. In fact, a lot of Baptists make fun of what I say, what I preach. Just don't fit their thinking. It don't fit their doctrine. It don't fit their understanding of things. The Baptist doctrine is the Bible. And it's like I told this feller, The Baptists have been around since Jesus started them. And we preach the same thing. We're known as the harshest section of Baptists outside of primitive who don't believe you preach the gospel at all. We preach the gospel because we know that God told us to go preach the gospel. We know that God said that he's going to use that gospel to save sinners. Why wouldn't we preach it? Why wouldn't we make it available to everyone? We want people to be saved. We can stand up if we want to and say, well, God's going to save sinners, therefore we don't need to work. No, we need to work. You all are doing exactly the right thing. We have a website, we have sermon audios, we have missionaries. We are doing our work as a church. And them things are not cheap. But it's the greatest money we'll ever spend. The greatest money a church will ever spend is on the work of a mission. He goes on in verse 3. From no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And the reason it's put like that is because the only ones that are saved, the only ones that won't call Jesus accursed, is those that have been saved by the Spirit of God. Doesn't even cross our minds, does it? Let's go to the second part of this. That no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. You put Spirit, Ghost, anything, it means the same, folks. I get tired of people saying, well, they're different. No, they're not different. I had this explained to me and I've checked it out to make sure it's true, and it is. Some of the translators back in the King James era, back in 7 to 11, back in the era when they were translating the scriptures, I got that first part wrong, I'm sorry, 7 years. Some of the translators were like spooky, and they didn't like the word spirit because it made them think of spirit. I don't know why, if you think of spirit, you won't think of ghost. Boo. You know what I mean? Boo, boo, boo. But anyway, they're the same. But what you cannot do is you cannot call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, lost people can stand there and say, Lord, 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 50 times. In fact, they love to use the Lord's name in vain all the time. But that's not what he's talking about. With your inner person, the controlling factor of a Christian is their inner person or spirit or what the Bible calls heart. He's not talking about your real heart. He's talking about the heart of your soul, which is the spirit, which is dead in lost people. They cannot call Jesus Lord from their heart unless the Holy Spirit saves them first. And the first thing a newborn Christian does is call Jesus Lord. That's the reason we won't call him accursed, because we call him Lord. Told you about this morning. Let's go to Acts 9. It says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. I was taught by my predecessor, by my mentor, that Saul of Tarsus, a very ugly person, was actually saved when he spoke the words he did in Acts chapter 9, verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Think about what, look at the words here. This is literally Paul writing this himself. Some say it wasn't. I'm on debate whether it was or wasn't. But it's still Paul, isn't it, that we're talking about. But notice here, when Paul or Saul of Tarsus was on his way down to chase down some of the Christians that escaped the church in Jerusalem, he was trembling. He was trembling and astonished. And he said, Lord, what will you have me to do? This showed a totally humbled Saul of Tarsus. This showed a changed man. One who hated Jesus, one who persecuted the church at Jerusalem, one that held the coach while they stoned Stephen to death, one that did many mischief things to Christians and the church at Jerusalem because he hated them. He hated them because they worshiped this man named Jesus, whom they crucified and mocked. Whom stopped Saul of Tarsus on his way to persecute these Christians. And he was trembling. Holy Spirit had a hold of him. He was trembling. You see grown men who have been saved crying when they come to the Lord. You have men that say that they will never come to the Lord, come to the Lord. God gets a hold of you, he changes you, and you know he's a hold of you, and you know that he's changing you. So this man, Saul of Tarsus, showed himself to be very humbled and very much changed from a cursing Jesus to loving Jesus. Said, Lord, you imagine Saul of Tarsus calling Jesus Lord. And not only did he call Jesus Lord, he succumbed to Jesus' power and said, what will you have me to do? Saul of Tarsus did not make a choice. He did not make a decision. He didn't turn over a new leaf. He did not change himself as humanists believe. Jesus Christ changed him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, if you will. Jesus changed him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Same way he changed you. You knew you were saved because the Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Every one of them, every single solitary one of them, even Saul of Tarsus. "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You don't just decide it. You don't just choose it. The Spirit of God comes into you, quickens your spirit, and starts the process of you believing in Jesus Christ. There's nothing humanistic about it. It's all God's power, every bit of it. When you sit down and think about it, we all owe God credit for everything we've ever accomplished. Amen. Because everything we've ever accomplished is a blessing from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works every day in our hearts. Every single solitary day, the Holy Spirit is in you working. It's because of him that we cry, Abba, Father. It's because of him that we come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. It's because of him that you have any, absolutely any knowledge of the scriptures. And what you do have that's right is the work of God through the Holy Spirit in your heart. People don't give themselves credit. We do not deserve any credit. I don't care if we went to seminaries. I don't care if we study every day. I don't care how many sermons you listen to, how many books you read. It's all useless if the Holy Spirit is not teaching you the truth. Every bit, every ounce of truth you believe is because of the Holy Spirit working in your heart. We'll finish this point, start with our fifth point, verse 4, get into the diversity of gifts next Sunday morning. I hope that you have enjoyed this, and I hope this has been a blessing to you. And Junior, you can kill that video over there, please. Do have a wonderful week, and I do appreciate you being here and your attention today.